Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Tune in to Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and practitioner who's helped thousands transform their lives. Part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff will lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Welcome to the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host. You're listening to a live Dream Vision 7 radio network broadcast at 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston, heard live every first Sunday at 7 p.m. You can also tune into my show through our station Dream Vision 7 radio every week. So to learn more and for a full station schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in to our November show. Our topic is Our Fathers, Ourselves. On today's show, we'll look at the power that our relationship to our Father has had on us. I've taught workshops on this topic many times, and I often begin a workshop by asking my participants just to think about what three words come to your mind to describe your father. So you can be thinking about that as we proceed this evening. I also like to ask participants, what is one of the challenges and also the gifts in your life presented to you as a result of your relationship with your father? You know, historically, as a society, we've emphasized mother-child relationships. In fact, my show last month was on our mothers ourselves, but recent research has suggested that the relationship between fathers and their children is significantly important, really more than previously was held to be. Fathers, we know, do have a profound impact on their children's well-being, a truly profound impact, and a lot of the research indicates that the father's relationship to his children can bring enormous positive benefits to these children, and that this relationship can influence almost every area of the child's life. So this evening on our show, I would like for us to look at, first, the father's effects on the child's life and development. And with that, what I'm talking about is the impact on mental, emotional, and spiritual development and what research would suggest. Then we're going to look at this in terms of the effects not only on the child, but how this affects the adult that the child becomes and what the father can do to ensure greater success. So if you're a father listening in, you can apply some of these principles. We'll also explore father wounds and how they can occur and what we can do to heal at the wounds that we might hold with our father. Also, we'll talk about parenting combinations and how do those combinations affect us. In other words, what type of mother with what type of father, they create what would be called a parenting type together. And then finally, we're going to talk about what you can do as a father to improve your relationship with your child. So as we get going with this, for example, I want to talk about the idea just that fathers do have an impact on their children in ways that are connected that, you know, might not be something you'd be thinking about. So first of all, research has shown that father impact is connected to the child's cognitive ability and academic achievement. Now, that's one area, but also the impact affects emotional and psychological development. This is hugely important. And also, it affects their social behavior. This is what research has shown us. And children with involved caring fathers have been shown to be more likely to have better educational success. Some studies even suggest that more caring and involved fathers have children with higher IQs and higher levels of academic success. So, you know, fathers, there's a lot of research that says get involved and be caring with your child. And what about from a spiritual standpoint? Because we don't want to underplay the importance of that. Because, you know, as a child grows up, their emotional and spiritual growth is deeply affected by their relationship to their father. He's usually the first masculine figure in their lives. And for this reason, he's a prime shaper of the way the child relates to the masculine side of themselves. And this is, again, whether they're male or female, everyone has a masculine side. And in the case of a daughter-father relationship in particular, it's believed that the father helped shape the daughter's connection ultimately to men and the kinds of relationships, you know, that this daughter may get in with men. And this is said to be actually because the father is what's called other than the daughter, and they're really just saying that in research in regard to gender. So the father is said to help shape the daughter's uniqueness as well as her individuality. So with these kinds of ideas in mind, you know, you might ask yourself, how did your father, whether you're male or female, contribute to your mental, emotional, and spiritual growth? And how did he shape your uniqueness, particularly if you are a woman? And then you could say, you know, are you or were you like or unlike your father? We're going to look at that as well. Now, another idea is that a father's role is to lead the child from the protected realm of the home. And traditionally, this is referred to as the realm of the mother, and lead the child out into the world, helping the child to cope with the world and its energy and bigness in the world. Again, this is the psychological role of the father. And you see, in this way, the father's attitude toward the world and success itself can definitely affect or color the child's attitude as well. And if you think about why this is, well, traditionally, if you're an adult now especially, the father is said to provide or have provided, for that matter, a model for authority, for responsibility, ultimately for decision-making and really for order and discipline. I mean, those would be the areas that are attributed to the father. And we know also that research suggests that the father can become the primary outward model for self-discipline and success in the outer world. Now, this is particularly interesting because in regard to hundreds of clients, for example, that I've helped over the years, a large number of those who grew up in families with traditional gender roles have shared that they sought to achieve in the outer world, as they put it, like the father. And interestingly, on the other hand, in contrast, if the father did not achieve or express qualities of success himself, the child, and this is what research shows, the child can seek to manifest what the father could not. A better way to put it would be like trying to create success for him, in a sense. But let's go back to the power of the father-child relationship early on. I think that's what's really important for us to look at. So you see, what research is saying is that the child's relationship to father is one that is truly fundamental to the developmental progress of the child. And this really is an impact that begins at birth. It's said that the play, for example, that a father participates in with his child contributes to healthy brain development in the child. And, my thought in looking at the research is perhaps this is because often the play tends to be more spontaneous and physical. You know, this is what research has supported. And as a child matures, the father's role is often to help the child learn to problem solve and to set and achieve goals, you know, which among other things is really important to the child's development. So throughout the child's school years especially, the father then, as a model, can encourage the child to accept challenges. And I guess you would say just to develop morally. So interestingly, the father-child relationship is said to change during adolescence. Rather than engaging at that time in teaching roles so much or participating in what we've been referring to really as skill development, the father comes into more of what I guess would be called an advisory role. And so then his task becomes more of an advisor, or you could even say almost a friend, in regard to how to be in the world. And clearly, a child's relationship with father has long-lasting effects on the child's development, really well into adulthood. So even if a father does not live with his children, and this is important to note since this can occur as a result of divorce as well as abandonment, there's much still that can be done if the father is available so that a positive relationship is able to develop between the father and the child. And so let's look at what creates a strong positive relationship. Well, if the father is available, you know, is able to spending quality time together and communicating effectively, those two things are said to be two of the greatest means of developing a strong father-child relationship. So again, just to try to tie us in with this topic, you know, not only if you are a father, what about your father, this kind of idea, you can ask yourself, was your father absent or present for you? And we know, of course, the father can be physically present and emotionally absent, too. So, you know, what about an absent father, whether that's physically or emotionally? Well, what's interesting is that the current statistics suggest that 1 in 3 children in America live apart from their biological fathers. And this same research suggests that children who had absent fathers often suffer emotionally and may tend to be more prone to have difficulty in relationships with their peers. And in addition, research says that children can be significantly at greater risk, if this is the case, for drugs, smoking, alcohol abuse, and so on, if the father is not present. But research also suggests that children with positive relationships with their fathers, whether they see them frequently or not, tend to be more likely to have successful intimate relationships into adulthood. So, you know, I want us to look specifically at the relationship of father to child and the effects that this relationship can have long-term on the adult the child becomes. It's important for us to understand our own father connection, especially if there's a father wound, in order to appreciate what was lacking in the relationship that we had, so that, believe it or not, we can develop it within ourselves now, because that's the way we would heal that father wound. And there are many ways for such a wound to occur. So I really want to present just a few ways here in order to provide tips for healing. So what do we mean when we say a father wound? Well, the father may wound the child by having been extremely weak in character or in behavior, or what's termed in research as in presence. You know, just wasn't present. Or the father may have been a cause of shame for the child. You know, for example, maybe by drinking, by gambling, by being unemployed, or any of the things that research would suggest would have been something to cause the child to feel shame. Or he may have been literally absent. Let's say he left home as a result of divorce, died, became ill, or just was never present. Or just detached from the child. Let's say he was a workaholic, you know, so maybe physically present, successful in all of that, but just not physically or emotionally really present for the child, and especially emotionally present. This can create a wound. And a father can also wound a child by indulging the child so much that the child has a poor sense of limit, or we could say even of values and of authority, you know, a poor relationship to authority. And in some literature, it's suggested that the father may even unconsciously fall in love with the child who's a daughter and keep her archetypally bound to him in this way. Now, I'm not suggesting, by the way, any physical inappropriateness, but just in a subconscious way, psychologically, he would keep the daughter bound to him. And the father-daughter wound, I did a whole workshop at one point on this idea, but the father-daughter wound also can manifest itself in our culture in those situations in which a woman is kept limited due to a devaluing of her feminine role by her father. You know, she's a girl, so she's not viewed as important as a boy. Many of my clients have told me that over the years. So if you've been wounded, how do you release the wound that you might be experiencing as a result of having been parented poorly? Well, forgiveness is the primary way, of course, that we can release any wound that we might have experienced from a parent. And you see, primarily forgiveness releases your own spirit that's bound when you don't forgive. It certainly does not mean that by forgiving you're condoning what happened or that you let the parent off the hook, if you want to call it that in any way. And it's not about forgetting either. It's really about you not wanting to continue to give your father or mother control over your life, or from an energy banking standpoint, just to give them your continued energy. And that's what unforgiveness does, since you continue to give your precious life force to that person, even if you believe you're not thinking about them. You know, there's something that's unresolved, and that takes energy. So to forgive, you begin to realize that the father or mother did not hold total power over you. And while you couldn't respond so much as a child, you can as an adult respond and understand differently what occurred as an adult. And you see, unreleased anger, this is why it's so important to get in touch with this and let go and heal. Because unreleased anger or unresolved issues can be seen to play out in unconscious ways, you know, such as creating addictions to alcohol or food, shopping, you know, whatever it is. And constant guilt feelings also, like anger, are like anger, mainly because it's like you're beating yourself up incessantly. So talking it out is going to be really helpful to recognizing and releasing it so that it can be transformed. Because what is really underneath the anger is just our own vulnerability and, of course, our own fear. So we've got to be able to address that and work with it. You know, feelings that are unshed just freeze up in us. And even allowing yourself to cry, can break down your defenses and actually help you to heal your wounds. So to forgive, you can begin to understand an important dynamic about your relationship to your parents and also to the world. But let's now go back to the father's impact in relationships to the child. So what about the father-son relationship? What does the research show about that? Well, first of all, interestingly, generosity in preschool boys in particular is shown to be more likely when the child viewed the father as nurturing and affectionate. Also, when the father's warm and accepting, the child just tends to express higher self-esteem. But kids who viewed their fathers as hostile and non-accepting, on the other hand, research showed, tended to feel more alienated in life in general. It was also shown that loving fathers who provided firm but healthy guidance, and you know what I'm saying, firm but healthy guidance, without forcing their own will on the child, promoted greater competence in their children. While in contrast, authoritarian type of fathers really tended to produce anxious, withdrawn, or in some cases, dependent children. And interestingly, adolescent boys who perceived their fathers as understanding and who rewarded them for the same behavior, these children who believe themselves to be more like these fathers, well, these boys tended to be more able to adjust with peers, you know, to be more popular with peers. So what are we really saying? Well, even from birth, children who have an involved father who's displaying positive parenting traits are more likely to be emotionally secure and confident. And they have better relationships with their friends. Basically, kids who receive high levels of affection from their fathers, and we are focusing tonight really on fathers, because certainly mother makes a huge difference. But fathers feel more these children, you know, who receive high levels of affection from their fathers, feel more securely attached so that they can be in their environment, we would say more easily, or just adjust more easily to the environment. And I understand that one study of school-age children suggested that when there is a good relationship to the father, the child is also less likely to experience depression or to display disruptive behavior. So, you know, fathers do have a very powerful and positive impact on the well-being of their children. Okay, so now I'd like to talk about types of fathers. And just to mention, you know, there are considered in the literature to be really two types of what are called father extremes, and hopefully, you know, we're in the middle of the range, but just to let you know what those extremes are, because most fathers fit closely within one or the other of the two extremes, and of course, some are balanced between the two. So you might evaluate as we go through this, if you are a father, what type of father are you, what would be the effect, but also what type of father did you have and what impact might that have had on you. So the first extreme or type that I've heard in research is referred to as the eternal boy. Okay. Now, in this extreme, the father actually errs on the side of being too childlike or indulgent. And because they haven't established limits for themselves, they really are unable to provide a good model for their children. And you can see how this would happen, you know, from the idea of even just the eternal boy as a title. But the eternal boy father may stay fixated at sort of what would be called the adolescent stage of development himself, and often would be doing what we would call dwelling in possibility rather than in actuality. And this is important because this type of father, this eternal boy father, can be really charming and even be inspiring, yet he may avoid hard work and what would be called down-to-earth struggles. So the children of these eternal boys can then grow up without an adequate model of self-discipline, of authority, or really even of knowing how to set a limit. And quite often what research has shown is that these children suffer from feelings of insecurity. They're generally not as self-confident and often are said to have a weaker ego development. So the father who's the eternal boy, again, often doesn't provide most of all the child a sense of commitment. And this may produce a general lack of trust in a female child's feelings about men or in a male child's sense of his own manliness or in trusting men. Well, what about the other extreme? Okay, so we have the eternal boy as one extreme, and we're talking extremes, though. We're not talking, you know, the average person. But the second extreme is often described as the rigid, or better known as the authoritarian father. Well, what is this father about? You know, he's described in this extreme as being rigid and possibly cold, but, you know, most of all, conditional. You know, you do it his way or you're wrong. And he sometimes is said to enslave the child with a strict authoritarian attitude. Well, the problem is that these fathers are often cut off from their own feminine sides and from their own feeling selves. And their emphasis tends to be on obedience and duty. You know, life has to be rational. Or you could say often obedience to the established order is the rule, and any departure from society's norm is not considered acceptable or not to be trusted. So it's a lot about the need to be in control. Now, their emphasis, you know, the rigid authoritarian father's emphasis, is often on control and on doing things right, or at least the way this father thinks is right. And on the positive side, their emphasis on authority being important can provide a sense of stability and structure for the child. But of course, on the negative side, it tends to squash the child's feminine qualities of sensitivity or feeling, and also spontaneity. You know, the child may be less spontaneous. And these authoritarian fathers may dominate their wives and their children. They may also make the rules and require obedience. And their expectations can be rigid in regard to the child's being successful in the world, or they may just demand that the child follow, you know, conventional gender roles. So it looks like we're getting ready to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk more about those types. I want to talk also about partnership types, male, female, mother, father. But it is time for a break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston. We'll be back for further tips on our fathers ourselves. To call in during the second half of the show, our local number, 617-237-1234, toll free, 866-338-9663. Thank you.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Join us every second Sunday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for the Nurturing Intuitive Children with Dr. Nikki show, where you'll discover holistic strategies and techniques that support intuitive and empathic children in our homes, in schools, and in healthcare. Through our panel of distinguished guests, you'll receive parenting tips, education strategies, and holistic health solutions that'll help you improve the lives of these magnificent children and help their inner light shine even more brightly on the planet. Our program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Tune in every first Sunday at 6 p.m. for maximum success, the Coach Brew Show. You'll learn success strategies to take your game to the next level from performance consultant John Brubaker. Maximum Success explores why winners win and teaches you the keys to peak performance. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
WUFC, Boston.
You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Our topic this evening is our fathers, ourselves. Now, you can call in during this part of the show. The local number is 617-237-1234 or toll-free 866-338-9663. So when we left off before the break, we were talking about the two extremes, and we referred to the first as the eternal boy father, who dwelled more in possibility, was sort of fixated at the adolescent stage of development and so on. And then we began talking about the second extreme, which is the rigid or authoritarian type. So we had really just begun that piece, so I just want to, again, pick that back up. You know, so what is this father about? Well, we had said that he would be described as rigid, you know, conditional in his behavior, possibly cold, but basically enslaving the children with a very strict authoritarian attitude and everything being rational, emphasis on obedience, duty, and so on. And there's also this emphasis on established order. You know, there's a rule to follow. And control is a big issue here with this parent because, you know, you do things right, or at least the way that this father thinks is right. And I did mention before that on the positive side, the emphasis on authority being important can provide a sense of stability and structure. But, of course, it can squash the feelings of spontaneity and sensitivity. So anyway, you know, these fathers make the rules, require obedience, may dominate the children, the wives, and their expectations can be very high and rigid in regard to how this child not only needs to act as a child, but how they could be successful in the world. They may demand, for example, that the child follow a conventional gender role. But anyway, what's the effect? Well, the effect is that this child, based on research, this child may become hard on themselves or on others, and probably hard on their own children. Now, sometimes they follow the authoritarian rule and never lead their own lives. That's another way to look at this. Now, you've always got the child that may rebel, but stay bound to their father's control. So even when they rebel, they're constantly, in a sense, living in reaction to the father rather than from their own inner center for figuring out how to live life. It's like they live in response to the father rather than live out their own lives. This is a possibility. So really what we've really just done is describe two extremes. And perhaps your father or you as a father fit into a more middle ground, and I hope that you do. But what's really interesting is to see how the mother-father relationship combination can occur as a result of these two extremes. So just bear with me while I describe, you know, what that looks like, what can happen, and then shortly we'll go back to the father impact. Well, what are some possible parenting combinations of mother and father? And as I discuss these, you could evaluate what scenario best fits your own experience of your parents or maybe the relationship that you're in right now if you're a parent. The first combination would be the mother as authoritarian and the father as the eternal boy. Well, the father who is an eternal boy often, interestingly, has a mother for a wife, and that's probably not surprising, but the mother often rules the home and is the disciplinarian for the family. And, you know, it's believed that through her comes the values, the order, the structure of what needs to happen within that family. So when the father is weak and indulgent, you know, again, the eternal boy, the mother often has to be or just is strong and controlling, and the child has a double problem since neither of these two parenting, you know, types is particularly effective. So now let's switch these roles, and what about a second combination, the mother as an eternal girl and the father as an authoritarian? Well, if the father is the authoritarian and the mother is childlike, you know, most often in this case, the child may devalue the mother since she doesn't evidence a strong model. And instead, the child may adhere to the strict rules of the father or just, as I said before, just eventually rebel. But the mother would probably not be as respected by the child if she appears not to be able to stand up to the father or to, you know, she's more of the eternal child, almost like having another child in the family. And a third combination when both mother and father are childlike and needy, you know, what if that happens? The mother's the eternal girl, the father's the eternal boy. I actually have had a couple of clients who told me that was their experience, where they felt like they were the parent of their parents, that their parents were needy and, you know, unable to really parent them, you know, both mother and father. Well, if this happens, this combination provides the child really with very little stability and little structure or authority, you could say, by either parent. And the child may feel in constant chaos or anxiety because really there's not a defined structure or the boundaries aren't set. You know, we don't really know how we're fitting into this world. We're the parent and not, you know, being parented. But the world in this case may also just to this child appear not to be very safe or, you know, they don't get a lot of handle on how to understand the world. And, of course, let's not leave out combination four. What if you had a rigid father and a rigid mother? So when those parents would be authoritarian in nature and strict, this combination often really cuts the child off on both sides from the sources of spontaneity and feeling that we said, you know, would happen with the rigid father. It's as though life becomes dictated by rules and limitations. And eventually, for this child to heal, they may have to go so far away from the dictated rules, you know, when they get older, and just allow for healing to take place. They'd have to get in touch with their feelings. They'd have to, in some cases, maybe reject the parental structure altogether. And I have absolutely had clients who have told me that they have not been able to stay in contact with parents that were so rigid and authoritarian and disrespectful of their own need to develop. And yet, on the other hand, I mean, these are people who are incredible people who are not connecting with parents because they are choosing that in a selfish way, but truly choosing it in order to heal themselves, and sometimes eventually going back and being stronger. But interestingly, no matter what type of father or mother you have, there are certainly gifts and difficulties in every one of these combinations. So, you know, in healing exercises, I often ask participants to ask themselves, you know, what didn't I get in my parenting that I might need to give myself now? And it's believed that each of us carries an inner child who seeks healing. But the other piece of it is we also carry an inner set of parents. So does your inner father or mother support and care for you now? You know, or inside, are you still trying to adhere to a way of life that isn't authentic for you? Now, that's really the question. And I've had clients whose parents have passed on, and they're still adhering to these rigid rules. And so the real question is, how do you get in touch with how you're treating yourself as an adult in regard to healing? And then there's another area I need to address, because frequently in workshops, I will have a client who says that they lost their father, you know, when they were very young. So what about as a child losing your father? You know, some of us may have had that situation. Well, it's believed that a child's personal development is greatly affected when a father voluntarily absents himself, you know, or chooses to leave, we could say. And even if a parent dies, the child often feels, it's interesting, you know, why is this so hard on the child, not only if it's death or just voluntarily absence himself. Well, it's believed that it may disturb a young child's, first of all, progression through psychological stages where the child learns attachment and love. And if the father abandons the child, you know, chooses to voluntarily leave, well, this is said to affect the child's ego development. Because at a young age, you see, thinking concretely, the child often holds himself or herself responsible for the abandonment. You know, even though, again, we know that isn't the case, it's not the child's responsibility, but they may feel that way. And this is where it gets so tricky, because even death can be believed to be felt by the child as abandonment and contain elements of desertion, even though you know, obviously that the parent could not help that they passed on. It's very tricky like this. But at any rate, the child can heal from the separation or loss of a parent who remains alive if the parent is reliable and available to the child, even if they're not physically able to be present. But let's go back to the effect of death. What happens to the adult when the father dies? There is a famous quote by Carl Jung, and I've referenced it so many times on my shows, but I truly admire Jungian theory. And the quote is, when your father dies, you become your father or you become yourself. And he actually says whether it's father or mother in that sentence, but when your father dies, you become your father, you become yourself. You see, it's believed that daughters are affected in a major way by the death of the father, because when the father dies and the daughter is an adult, research shows that the loss may be even more powerful than the death of the mother. And if the father were a good provider or not, you know, whether they were a good provider or not, the loss of the father often creates an awareness of the daughter of feeling left, you know, just left alone without any final hope, you could say, or desire of finally being provided for. And it also, research shows, if the person is married or permanently partnered when she loses her father, it's believed that this loss can actually affect the roles of both the daughter and the spouse. So more than anything, when we lose a parent, we know that we move up a step in the generational hierarchy. And when that person is our father, the difference psychologically is that we lose the parent whom, you know, for many of us, this parent embodied security. And while this may not apply to each person or each situation, you know, it is said to apply to many people. So, you know, now let's switch to our focus on what can be done to improve the father-child relationship. You know, what does it take to be a good father? We're getting ready to take a break. When we come back from the break, definitely we'll get into the improving the father-child relationship. But it is time for a break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston. We'll be back for further tips on our fathers ourselves. So to call in during the second half of the show, this last part, you can call the local number 617-237-1234 or toll free 866-338-9663. Thank you so much.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Are you ready to be who your soul wants you to be? Join Lynn McGonigal, the founder of the Lightworkers Healing Method, as she and her amazing guests show you how to move into a life of lasting joy. Miracles happen every second Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Hasn't your soul already waited long enough?
The Massachusetts Soldiers Legacy Fund, MSLF, was founded in 2004 with a simple goal: to provide educational assistance grants to the children of Massachusetts service members who were killed while deployed on operations enduring an Iraqi freedom. With its current resources, the MSLF guarantees a minimum of $40,000, $10,000 per annum, in educational funding to each child of a fallen service member whose home of record at the Department of Defense was Massachusetts. There's no selection process. If an individual is a child of a service member whose service is credited to Massachusetts and whom gave his or her life in Operation Enduring or Iraqi Freedom, that child qualifies for MSLF funds. We're proud to report that we're accomplishing our founding objective thanks to the support of individuals and organizations throughout the United States. To donate, go to mslfund.org.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Saturdays 2 to 3 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Saturday, 2 to 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
The Dream Vision 7 Radio Network presents Kids for Love. Join Deborah Beauvais and her young co-hosts and celebrate kids making a difference. We invite other kids to join in for spirited conversation filled with creative ideas and possibilities to start your own mission. Let's raise the bar together and cultivate a kinder world by getting inspired to help others in need. Kids for Love Project, celebrating kids that empower others. Callers into the show are in a drawing. It's every first Saturday at 2 p.m.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, International Life Coach and Energy Medicine Practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Join us every second and fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, and our topic this evening is Our Fathers, Ourselves. So earlier we talked about the effect of losing a parent, and now I had mentioned that we're going to switch our focus somewhat and begin to talk again. We talked a little bit about this, but how do you improve father-child relationships? You know, what does it take to be a good father? Well, a major key that we've been seeing here so far is involvement, you know, in a positive way, of course. And we know that the father's role is not an easy one in a family. Typically, both parents at this point really in our society are both focused on providing financial support, but the father in particular in most cases is providing financial support for the family. Working hours may be long. It may be more difficult to have an active role in caring for the children. And in some cases, the father can be charged with being the disciplinarian in the family. You know, unfortunately, some mothers may create an image of the father as the person to be feared in order to attempt to control the child's behavior. And that's not beneficial, by the way, to parent or child at all. But these have become more traditional stereotypes, and we've come really to see the father or allow him to be able to combine love and tenderness so that he can enjoy his children and set appropriate limits on behavior, but be a partner with his wife and child rearing. And more fathers are recognizing that family life is truly rewarding, and these shifts in the father role in the family unit is not only welcomed, but it's in part due to the increase in working women, and also, though, to the divorce rate. I mean, fathers have been called upon to take on more child-rearing responsibilities. And remarriage, stepfathering, you know, there are all kinds of new challenges for both mothers and fathers. So with all these different changes or increased differences, changes in family units, some fathers can't rely upon the experiences that they had as a child to guide them in these new situations. You know, they're experiencing different challenges, say, than their fathers may have experienced. The fathers today have a number of styles of fathering, and their type of fathering style is affected, you would say, by how they perceive their role, and also by the number of children they have, what type of work they're doing, and even their own personality. But hopefully fathers know how important they are to their children, and the more they can express this in words and behavior, the better for the child. And I always say, you know, the more they can even literally say to the child, I want to spend time with you. Our relationship is important to me. You know, I love you. I'm interested in you. These are the kinds of statements that matter so much to the child. They're so critically important. And while we're focusing here on the father in this show, if the father is away from the child most of the day, let's say has less time in the evening, well, then the quality of time spent together really can mean more than the quantity of time spent. So, you know, how can you as a father have greater quality time with your child? So I just want to give a few pointers about that. I guess for starters, you can engage in activities that require interaction. You know, maybe less TV unless it's an interacting within a show or something. Or instead of a movie, you know, where there might be silence and less connection, interact with a game. Read to your child. I was at a social event last night and spoke with a gentleman who was talking about his son-in-law, and he commented that his son-in-law reads every single night to his children, no matter what's going on, how busy he is. He reads to them every night, and it is so special to watch the love that he shares with his kids. And even the gentleman I was talking to is the grandfather. He said, you know, even when they're visiting, the grandparents are visiting, they know that the evening book that's read, you know, the last part of the night is the special time the dad has, and that doesn't change. So I thought that was really cool. And another way to have quality time would be to engage in physical play, you know, that requires some kind of cooperation, bicycling, sports, something like that. Have a special day. Go to a child museum, the zoo, you know, the water park. You can also establish traditions. Maybe you and your child can make dinner together, do a special thing that only the two of you do on the weekend. But anyway, just try to come up with something creative. I also want to point out, though, that there may be long-distance father-child situations. So whether or not the father is living with the child, there are many ways that a father can foster a strong relationship with his child. Just a few ways come to my mind. You know, if the father is not the primary custodial parent, they can make the child comfortable and feel like he belongs in their home when that child goes to that home. You know, let's say this is a second home for the child. You can have a certain area for the child to have his own bed, his or her own bed, toys, clothes, and so forth. And this way, the child really feels that they belong there, and they're not intruding on someone else's space. And important, too, is that you can contact your child by phone frequently and particularly on a regular expected basis, so the child knows to expect a connection and that it is really important to you as a dad. And it's during these calls that you make that you can express interest in your child's daily life. You know, ask the child what's going on in school, what about their friends, what matters to them, and then share about your own daily life. You know, maybe there could end up being traditions that are unique with you and your child when you're together, certain kinds of meals and games. That's another possibility. But all of the things I'm mentioning, just send a message to the child that this child is important to you. Send an email. Send a letter. You know, without a certain reason, more of a, you know, it's just because I love you kind of thing. And all of this will influence the well-being of the child. So we've mentioned ways to build and maintain strong relationships that, you know, hopefully will have a healthy and positive impact on both of you. And again, just to stress, it's not the mere presence, you see, but it's the connection and communication you as father have to your child. I mean, that is really what the key is. So I have found in working with clients that if there's more than one child, giving each child exclusive attention is particularly beneficial for each child's self-esteem. And the less outside distractions there are when you're with the child, the better. So, you know, this is important. Let the child know about your world of work, you know, what's going on in your life. Really, just realize that you have way more influence and power than you may even think you have. And I have to say, because of teaching communications for the better part of my life at a university, much of it has nothing to do with just what you say, but how you act and how you present in your child's world. You know, so encourage them to set goals, set up good boundaries, and mainly show the child your strength, but without dominating the child. We definitely don't want to have any negative impact on that child's spirit. So fathers who expect to be constantly disciplinarians, you know, need to show tenderness, create a climate that puts love into that relationship with that child, okay? So these, again, are just a few of the ideas. And the impact of a father-mother relationship is really important. You know, this is important for the child to see how his parents are interacting, especially if there is a divorce. Because fathers influence their children in large part through the quality of their relationship with the child's mother. So when a father and mother have a good relationship, the father's more likely to spend time with the kids. And the quality of the mother-father relationship is going to affect the parenting behavior, really, of both parents. So how do you improve, you know, a relationship with your spouse if there's been a divorce? Well, your children certainly are affected by parent interaction. And they can better cope with the divorce or separation if the parents work hard to improve their relationship with each other. I mean, kids really notice what's going on. And it takes maturity to set aside your hurt feelings toward each other, but always put your child first. I mean, children are smart. They pick up on animosity between their parents. And it may cause them to withdraw or just to suffer emotionally. So always take a few steps to even if it's have a heart-to-heart talk with each other, but mainly express the need to put the children first and to show common courtesy towards one another, not only in front of them, but I think it's important not to speak poorly to each other or to the kids about the other parent at any time. Again, you know how I am with my Jungian quotes, but there's one that Carl Jung said, an attack against the father or mother is an attack against the child. So, you know, what I think he's really saying is that the child is going to suffer when they believe a parent is not good, which is what an attack on a parent really does. So it's worth every effort on your part. So as we begin to summarize this evening, you know, fathering is not an easy task, but in the long run, children are in our homes for really only a short amount of time, but they're in our hearts forever. So every hug, every little talk you have from the heart with your child bonds your heart with theirs now and in the future. And it's important to figure out, you know, what's unique about my child. Compliment them. Build on their strengths. And I don't care whatever age they are, little or older, let your child know what you wish for them. Let them know that you love them. And if you're sorry, you're sorry. You know, talk with your child. And when I think about my own childhood, what I remember about my father the most were not huge moments, but really probably what were less significant moments. You know, it wasn't about getting a birthday present, but it was about him letting me go with him to the store, you know, or my dad was a musician, and he gave me my first guitar when I was 13 years old. He also gave me a small desk in our basement to play school because I had said I wanted to be a teacher. Of course, I ended up becoming a teacher, but I knew that he saw me for who I was. Now, he didn't play teacher with me, but he got me the desk, so I knew, you know, that he cared about me. And, you know, what we really crave is our dad's presence and just to know that he cares. So if you have difficult memories, just know that there are different perspectives, and the child perspective sees the father from the child's point of view. But as you get older, you're healing your wounds, you begin to see that there is a sister-brother perspective, and it allows you to know that, you know, your dad's just trying to make it, your mom's just trying to make it just like you were. So few events are going to change a person's life as much as becoming a parent or a man's life as much as becoming a father. And have that affection returned in good measure by being loving with your child. So as we begin to close our show this evening, I thank you for tuning in. It was a pleasure to spend this hour with you. In addition to my YouTube Heart Living video channel, which I encourage you to check out, and my Heart Living Facebook page, please visit my website at heartliving.com. I have a number of new products coming, ebooks, webinars, Heart Living cards. Again, thank you so much, and promise yourself that you will practice heart living by living your life with passion and purpose. I look forward to our December program. I will have returned from Japan, and I will have the topic about Reiki and what goes on those trips to Japan. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Join us the first Sunday evening of every month at 7 p.m. to explore ways to live a more inspired and passionate life. Gain clarity, balance, and purpose as Cynthia guides you on an enlightening journey of personal transformation. For more information, find Cynthia at her website, heartliving.com, or on Facebook, facebook.com/heartliving.